Well, good morning. You know, I really like singing new songs. The only problem is I never know when they're over. But I do, Devin. I appreciate the song service thus far, and look, and like Bill, look forward to a summer of, you know, and Devin and Holly doing a great job so far. I know the kids really like them, and they're doing, you know, they're working really hard, and I appreciate the singing and all that you guys do during the week as well. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James. We're going to continue in our developing a faith that works. We're going to be continuing in this idea, of a Google Earth look at James. Now, one thing before, you know, I was sitting back there during the Lord's Supper, you know, and I'm trying to get a, you know, mental picture of the audience before I get up here, just, you know, because I pray about such things. And you know, one of the passages one of the quotes that he makes, that he says, "Do not keep the little kids from me." And, you know, a couple of times the kids were, you know, Jesus is teaching, and or they're in a situation where typically, you know, maybe they didn't want the kids around making a fuss, and so people started quieting them down, and Jesus said, whoa. You know, no, you let those kids come over here, and kids are going to be loud, and during the Lord's Supper, I don't know, and I hate saying this because Al's not here, but y'all remember Gray, you know, he had an attitude adjustment there at one point, and it was, you know, and it reminds me of a story, you know, and I've told you guys about the little kid who's getting taken out, and he said, "Y'all pray for me," you know, everybody loved that, but then it was interesting to see when Al comes back in, and y'all can kid him about this. Boy, Gray didn't want to have nothing to do with Pawpaw. Did y'all see him? He went all the way across that aisle, and he couldn't have got any more up in Gail's lap. Than, I mean, I think he kicked somebody out of it and got up in there. But then, in the great example that Al is, and I remember my mom and dad, my mom did this, and was when that collection plate came along, when I was about that age or whatever, then those quarters started coming down the aisle and saying, "Here, y'all put this in." Because they wanted to teach us that, you know, this is what you do. Even though that wasn't, you know, my money, that was theirs. And I was little, I just remember getting a quarter and giving it in. Now it's changed to dollars these days. But then, you know, Gray's all up on Gail and he's giving Al the stink eye. But then he sees Pawpaw pulling out dollars. Oh, I'll take one of those. And he came back. But anyway, it was a beautiful moment. And I just thought about that. You know, we get real bunged up about the kids getting all loud and if they're going to be fussing and all that. And just remember, if you've got little kids that start fussing, Jesus said, don't hinder them from coming to me. And if you're sitting around little kids that are fussing, and before you get all irritated and think, "Well, what in the world are those?" No. Jesus said, don't keep those little kids from me. And just look, when you see them, just think of Jesus. When you see those kids, and mine were, and I was the world's worst about it. I thought as soon as mine just hiccuped, I had to get them out of there. But Jesus said, don't keep them kids from me. And I think it's just beautiful now that my kids are beyond that. I think it's cute. But Jesus loved them, and as Frank said this morning, you know, we are His children, and we all get fussy sometimes, and God, you know, God, He disciplines us, and then He gives us a dollar, and it's beautiful, and we love Him. If you've got your Bibles, look over in James. We're going to talk about something this morning that affects all of us. It's about winning over temptation. It's something that I know in my life I wish that I had less of, you know, but temptations just come and they come and it happens to us. And it's something that if we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that we could beat every temptation that we're going to face, I promise you we would leave here today a lot happier than we got here. And this morning, we're going to prepare ourselves as we take this Google Earth vision, this view of James, where we see it globally. We understand what James is talking about in all the big picture, but we're kind of bringing it in and focusing on little picture stuff and making that big picture things, because we know that ultimately God loves us, and we know that ultimately God wants good things for us, and we know that ultimately God wants us to be good people and to be shining stars in the universe, and He wants us to experience His salvation. But and we get that on Sunday, and we sing about it, and we pray about it, and we praise God and celebrate that. But then we leave, and then Tuesday happens, or Thursday afternoon, and we think, you know, there's got to be a scripture that fits this very occasion, and there are. And that's what this sermon series is about zooming in to these moments in time, these Tuesday afternoons when we're all alone with our thoughts and with temptations and with all of those things. And how do we win this battle? How do we live the life God has called us to live? How do we experience the salvation that He has given us? So this morning, we're going to look at winning over temptation, something that I'm sure we all want to do. We're going to look at James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. If you've got your Bibles, follow along. It says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when, by his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. But don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give each of us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created." This morning, as we ask the question, how can I win over temptation? How can I be the example that God wants me to be? How can others see the light of Christ when we are all just bombarded all of the time with all of these things that are so contrary to the will of God? You know, one of the things that I recognize as I parent and as my kids get older and I bless their hearts, I tell them all the time, you know, and especially Hayden, hey, I've never had a 14-year-old, so you know, you're the guinea pig, and you're the mistakes that I make with you and the counseling that you're gonna have to go through later because of the things I did wrong, your brothers and sisters, they're going to benefit from that. So just understand that what you are doing is for the good of others, you know, and what you're enduring and all that. But the more that I parent, and as I experience, you know, parenting, you know, new situations as my kids get older, and as I work with the youth, and I realize that those of us who are not teenagers now have it really good. It is so much more difficult to be a young person today than it was when I was a kid, or when some of you guys that were, Frank, when you were helping build the ark, I mean, it was a lot easier back then. I know the work was hard and the animals smelled bad, but today there are temptations and there are, all around, and it seems easier and easier and easier with the instant communication that we have and the instant information that is just poured on them. Temptation is even more so around. It was around every corner when we were kids, but it seems like now there's more and more corners. There's everywhere you turn, there's a new corner where temptation is around. And as we think about how do we win over temptation? How do we defeat this? How do we rise above this? The first thing that we have to understand, and as we learn some tools this morning, the first thing we need to understand is in temptation, be realistic. The Bible says in James, he says, look, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, because when he is tempted. The idea here is that just like trials, remember we talked about hard times earlier in James and difficulties. You know, there is this understanding, and God tries to get us to realize this, that hard times are gonna happen. You know, consider it pure joy when you face trials, fiery trials of many kinds. Trials are going to happen. Temptations are going to happen. Understand that temptation is a fact. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, no one is tempted. You know, temptation hasn't seized anyone except what is common to man. The simple fact is that we might try to hide it. We might try to be, you know, pious and religious and think, oh, that doesn't bother me. But once we admit one simple thing, that we are tempted, Jesus in Hebrews chapter 4 and 15, it says that he was tempted in all ways as we were tempted. Temptation is going to happen. Be realistic. Understand. Admit, hey, I'm tempted by things. It's no sin to be tempted. It's no sin to face temptation when we're realistic about it. When we let our brothers and sisters in on the fact that, hey, here is an area where Satan has my number, and here's something that really gets to me. When we're realistic about it, understand that it's no great feat, and it's actually a lie to yourself to say, oh, I'm not tempted by that, or I'm not tempted by this, or to live this false life that nothing gets to us. God says it's not that way. We're all tempted. Don't try to hide it. So be realistic. The first thing we need to be. Number two, if we're gonna win over temptation, be responsible. He said that no one should say that God is tempting me. You know, we need to be responsible about where temptation comes from. Understand who and what is to blame. Don't rationalize this. He says that, let me find here. No one should say, when tempted, no one should say God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. You see, the problem is that often in our lives, we try to rationalize things. How many times have you heard, well, you know, everything happens for a reason? I've heard that a lot. You know, things go on and God's in control and everything happens for a reason. And I agree with that. And most of the time, the reason that things happen are because we are stupid. Would you agree? If things happen for a reason, and sin is part of the life that we live, and brokenness is all around us, yeah, things happen for a reason because we make bad choices. And we're really good at rationalizing things, and when something comes along, we think, well, you know, maybe this is what God wants for me to do. Maybe I'll go this direction. And instead of understanding that it's not God waiting for you on the other side of that temptation, it's something much, much worse. Be responsible when it comes to the temptations that we face. Number three, not only should we be realistic and understand that it's going to happen, and be responsible when it does, and understand that God's not the author of those things that tempt us. And everything does happen for a reason, and if we're responsible about it, then we'll be ready. He says, by his own evil desires. He said, when tempted, no one should say that God is tempting me, for God is not tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. We need to be ready for things. You know, one of the, in coaching baseball, you know, where the season just ended last night, the Pirates closed out their season with a victory over the Mets, and now we go into the city tournament where, who knows what's going to happen. But one of the things that as a coach, sitting on the sidelines or, you know, in the dugout, and I'm yelling to players, you know, the one thing that I say more than anything else, it's like a broken record. Y'all get ready. What's the position that you got to be in, Jake? What's the position when you're in the field? What do they say? Get in the what position? The ready position. Now, a lot of times, some players think that the ready position is this right here. You would think that they wouldn't put pockets on baseball pants. But they do, apparently. I don't know, but, you know. And our, you know, one of the, like, our head coach's favorite things is, you know, what are you doing? Are you waiting on a bus? You know, you're just out there. You know, what's going to happen if you're just standing around and, you know, watching a game, not necessarily the game you're in, but just a game going on over there, glove on your head, just, you know, something bad's going to happen. Guess what? Ball's going to hit in your direction. And you're not going to be ready for it. And when it happens, you know, maybe you got to find your glove and put it on and run over. And more than likely, you're going to make an error. You're going to miss the ball. You're going to do something. You know, it's, you know, baseball is one of those games. Every sport, whether it's, you know, baseball or tennis or wrestling or golf or whatever, you got to be ready. And life is full of those opportunities to simply be ready, be waiting, anticipating, understand that I'm in the middle of something and I can't just be thinking about anything. I need to be ready for this. We need to make ourselves ready. And how does this work? And understanding how to win over temptation. We need to be ready for it when it comes. And there's specific ways that he talks about it here in James. It works. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 11, it says, so that we will not be outwitted by Satan. So that Satan, you know, Paul is talking to the church. He says, you know, understand so that you're not outsmarted by the devil. So that Satan doesn't come along and outsmart you. We need to understand all of his schemes. You know, Paul tells the church in Corinthians that. Understand all of his schemes. So how does it work? How do we get ready for these temptations? We need to know how it works. We need to understand that temptation works through a series of things, that there's something within us that we need to understand. And the first thing he talks about is that, you know, understand, you know, each one is tempted by his own evil desires. Verses 14 through 15, these two verses give us a blueprint of what this looks like, a blueprint of how to get ready, what to understand, what to be looking for. And the number one thing is there's these desires within us. The first thing we got to know about temptation is it's an inside job. It happens within us when Satan takes natural, normal, human, God-given desires and he twists them. You know, we have a desire to eat. And we need to eat. We need to eat to sustain life. And we need, but you know what Satan does? Satan takes the desire to eat and he makes it a sin. He makes it a distraction. And our country is overrun and we're dying of gluttony. Because Satan has taken this real natural, pure, beautiful thing that we can enjoy. And he's perverted it. It was think about the garden. Natural desire. It's pleasing to the eye. It's a natural desire. He twisted it and he made it bad. I mean, think of any desire that we have. Satan can take it and make it bad. So we have to understand that there are natural desires that can be perverted. And then not only is it desire that we need to be ready for. One is tempted by his own evil desires. He is dragged away and enticed. There's not only desire, but deception. There's a couple of terms that I want you to circle or underline or just make a note or maybe a mental note. Dragged away. This is the same term that is used of Paul when it says that they seized him in Acts and they drug him before the council there. You know, this is an idea it's a hunter's term to be snared in a trap. You know, that he didn't really, you know, Paul is there. He didn't realize that people were coming behind him. They grab him and they drag him off. It's this snared in a trap, you know, kind of, you know, word picture that's being painted there. And he says, you know, but each one is tempted when his own evil desire, dragged away, snared in a trap and enticed. That's a fishing term. And I don't have to go any further than that. Think about being enticed. Think about fishing. Think about what you do when you fish. I mean, I don't have to get Fred up here to give us a symposium, although he could and we would all be smarter for it. But you take something that looks appealing, that looks like food, that looks like something you want, and you throw it out there, and you wiggle it, and you jiggle it around, you get that fish to look at it, and then he comes up, and he thinks, oh, I'm going to have a meal. Oh, no, there's something in my mouth now that's causing pain, and I can't get away from this. It's an enticing, you know, and Satan uses those things, and he's got a tackle box full of lures that he will use, and any good fisherman knows this. Fred, I'll use you. You didn't know I was going to use an example this morning. When you go fishing, do you only take one lure with you? About 2,000. Now, not because you're going to lose them, not because, but you might, not because you're going to get snagged and it's going to, but one lure, the first one you use might not be working that day. They might not want the speckled flyer jiggeroonie that you got there. And so what do? You reel it in, you cut that off, put back on the hat, you get another one. Now try this one. And you might go through 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 until you find what they're wanting that day. And then you'll stay in that same place with that same lure and you'll tear them up, right? That's the idea. That's the idea. You see, that's what Satan will do, is he will just use the same and he will just sit there and he'll find what works and he will continue to entice us. And those fish just keep hitting that bait. We have to understand that there's desires within us, deception from the outside, and then it comes to disobedience. You see, if he can get our attention, he can ultimately get our actions. You see, because when he says, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. You see, once our natural focus, what we're naturally is within us, gets locked onto something perverted, something that Satan has twisted and turned and made an enticing trap. Once he gets our attention, he knows that our actions will follow. That's one of the reasons that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, 43, he gives a story about, look, an evil spirit leaves a man, a temptation or sin or something leaves a man, goes through arid places and can't find rest, and it comes back to that same guy. He finds his house, his life, all swept clean and put together, and he comes back with 7 more, and the guy's in worse shape than he was. You see, because if he can get our attention, and if he finds a place where our attention is not locked onto something good, our situation will end up being worse. And then where there is disobedience, where there is sin, is ultimately death. This is where sin leads. This is where temptation leads. If we understand this, if we wrap our minds around that there's desires and deception, that it leads to disobedience, and that the ultimate goal of all of this is separation from God, we're readying ourselves for the fight. So that's how temptation works. And how do we win? Not only are we realistic and responsible and getting ready, but be refocused. He says that it's full grown, it gives birth to you. Don't be deceived, dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting sand. Every good and perfect gift is from above. He says, what we need to do is instead of allowing Satan to change and to alter and pervert our desires, is to focus our life and to focus our attention, to focus our desires on God and His perfection and what He wants. Turn our attention to something else. Don't be focused on ourselves and what I want and what I need, but be focused on something else. Focus on God and what He wants and what He needs, and when His goals and His aspirations, when His purpose for my life is the most important thing to me, then all of a sudden what I want and how I want to edify my flesh is less important. That's why Al read from Proverbs 4 and 20 through 27. If you go back there, it says, turn your gaze to God. Focus your attention. Focus all of your attention, all of your thoughts, all of your sight, all of your senses, your hearing, your sense of smell, your vocabulary, everything. Focus your gaze where God wants it to be. He says, be refocused. Understand that there are temptations out there. And as long as I have filled my life and my heart and my mind and my soul and my body, as long as my attention is completely and utterly fixed on God, ultimately I will win over these temptations. Because there's no way that God can twist my desires and pervert what I want. There's no way He can lie to me. And the last thing that we have to do, once we're realistic and responsible and we're getting ready and we're focused on God, the last thing is to be reborn. He says, look, God gives us life. Where Satan and temptations lead to death, He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. God chose to give us birth. Whereas Satan chooses to lead us to death, God chooses to bring us back from that and to author life for us. Winning over temptation is all about surrendering to God. You see, the first step, and I know that this is the last thing that we're talking about, but here is the first step for any of us who would win over temptation. It's to be reborn. It's to be reborn and to be remade into a new creation, into a living and breathing and eternal hope that it's only through Jesus Christ. You see, this morning, all of us are faced with temptations, but not all of us are empowered to win over those temptations. You see, there are some here today that need to start right here, that need to understand that starting with rebirth, starting with being reborn through the word of truth, be surrendering, just admitting that we are fallen and that Jesus is the only way, and confessing Him as Lord and Savior and being baptized into that death, burial, and resurrection. There are some this morning that need to start here so that the rest of this pattern can take place. If that is your need this morning, we can take care of that. You can come forward this morning. You can confess Christ. You can put Him on in baptism and stand ready to face the temptations that are going to happen and be eternally saved through the truth of the Word. Whatever your need is this morning, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing.